It is good to be here with you today. We live in Grand Junction, Western Colorado. I know I'm stating the obvious, but it is an outdoor mecca of the western part of the country. We love it here, our family. We mountain bike, we do other things. But besides that, the Grand Valley is also home to part of our economy anyway is driven by gas and oil, right? By the gas and oil industry. I am not a petroleum engineer. I could not look at a piece of land and tell you, hey, this would be the best place to drill, that sort of thing. I couldn't, you know, probably even drive the truck on the roads necessary to get to some of the sites where that takes place. I couldn't do it. I couldn't fish the equipment out of a well that's broken off somewhere. I don't know very much about the oil and gas industry. This much I do know. I do know that what comes up out of the ground has to be refined before it makes its way to the pump so that we can fill up our gas in our car, right? I do know that it has to be refined before it heats our homes in the wintertime. I do know that things take place to refine, to get the impurities out, to get the water and all kinds of things that we don't want in it. Well, in our life, in our physical lives, I know that some of us take great measures to make sure we are fit as a fiddle, right? First service didn't laugh either. I mean, some of us take great measures to make sure we are fit and we work out and we quit eating certain things and we quit drinking certain things and we get rid of those toxins and those things that cause problems in our physical life. Last week I talked about the soul as well. How we're not just a soul with a body. Just a body with a soul, but we are a soul with a very temporary body. Right? We need to be careful about what happens to our soul. And there are times that we need to just take a moment and pause and refine some things out of our life. To get rid of some things out of our lives. So the last few weeks we've been talking about some of these issues. A few weeks ago we talked about doubt. And how doubt can get in and just wreak havoc on our lives. And how, you know, doubt's going to happen. Doubt is normal. How do we counter that? We also talked last week about comparison. You know, comparing to what the Joneses have, if you will. And being envious and jealous and those sorts of things. Well, today we're going to be talking about something else that I believe is holding people back from the next level in their faith, if you will. Today we're going to be talking about this thing called hidden or secret sin. Before you get too nervous and consider heading to the door, I just want to level the playing field, if you will. I know they're not locked. I have the microphone. You could leave. Please don't. That door's closing. But just stick with me today, okay? Let's level the playing field, though. I know that you're coming to Northeast Christian Church, and so therefore that means that all of us have figured out how to stop sinning, right? We don't struggle with this anymore, right? That too. Why do you guys struggle with my jokes? None of us have figured that out. None of us have figured out how to stop sinning entirely. I mean, I believe until we breathe our last breath, we're going to struggle with temptation. We're going to struggle with some things in life. You know, when we know that the Bible teaches that when Adam and Eve first sinned and sin entered into the world, it infected all of us. You're born, we are born with a sinful nature. We are. I mean, if you question that, don't believe me. Just, you know, watch a baby as it grows up and it's born into this world. Some of the first words out of its mouth are, no. Right? No. That's what happens. And it stays with us for the rest of our lives. Now, the only difference between Christians, you know, and non-Christians is that as Christians, we believe, we know, God's Holy Spirit dwells in us. God's Holy Spirit aids us, helps us make the right decision to live according to God's plan, God's desires. But every single day, we wake up and there's a fierce struggle, there's a fierce battle raging inside of us between these sinful desires and God's desires. These sinful desires of the flesh and God's desires of the Spirit. It's just a battle inside of you. Listen to this, what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 5. Verses 16 and 17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you're not to do whatever you want. But you do whatever you want. I do whatever I want sometimes. And so we go throughout our day, and it's like baseball, if you will. Some of you have Grand Junction Rockies tickets. You know, you don't go 4-for-4 every day. You don't go 2-for-4 every day. There are days that you go 0-for-4, right? And we fail. But the problem is, if we're really honest with ourselves, besides just sin and struggling with sins, there are specific sins, certain sins that just seem to keep rearing their ugly head in our lives over and over again. And we hate it. I hate it. We're a little embarrassed sometimes. Sometimes we hide these things. But aren't there, if we're being honest, aren't there sins in our life that just seem to come up over and over and over again? I think there's something in life kind of as an ingrained sin, if you will. Something that's ingrained in us. It's simply this idea, the same sin that shows up over and over and over again in my life. Because if it gets ingrained there, it just kind of, it gets a foothold. And you know, you do hate it, but it just keeps happening over and over again. It shouldn't surprise you that we struggle with this. We have an enemy, Satan, the devil, who is out to seek, kill, and destroy us all. Roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to desire, right? And so, of course, if he sees a weakness in your life, somewhere he can get in and wreak some havoc, he's going to do that. He's going to leverage that. I'm not the best basketball player, but I've learned to outsmart some people when I can. And so one of the things is, you know, it's just good strategy, good defense. If I know that someone cannot dribble to their left, I'm going to play them to their left as much as I possibly can, right? That's what we do. You extort those weaknesses, right? You take advantage of that. And why would we be surprised that Satan wouldn't do the same thing? And so in life we live and we, you know, take our day-to-day activities, and there are certain things, certain sins that just seem to come up over and over and over again. Well, this last week I was kind of reflecting back on my own life and just different things I have struggled with through the years from childhood on up. And you know, thinking back on my childhood, this might surprise some of you. I have a younger sister, about 3 years younger, just the two of us and my parents. This may surprise you, but I was not a very good older brother growing up. And I mean that. I mean, we have since made peace. I mean, it may, you know, she may shed some tears after listening to this message again, but I was not good. I would pick on her, and I would push her buttons, and I would antagonize her until she would retaliate, and then she would get in trouble. She would. I'd push her to that point, to the breaking point. And you know what? Mom and Dad would find out, and I would lie and say that she hit me first and those sorts of things, because she did hit me first, because I was right here, and then she hit me first, you know? I did those things. I'm not proud of that, and we can laugh about that, but I lied about it, and I lied about it, and I lied about it all through my childhood. I did. We do those things. They just continue to happen. I think I lied about it because I got away with it, and then I didn't think I'd get caught, and so, you know, the consequences would be worse, so why not just keep doing it? But then we kind of move into adulthood, and the sins might change just a little bit, but we still have things that kind of keep on going and things that repeat themselves over and over and over again. Now, if you're here this morning and you are not a follower of Jesus and you just happen to step in the door today and you're kind of checking us out and that sort of thing, I just want to tell you up front, you might get a little bit of a pass today, because maybe you've not accepted yet that God has a better way for your life and a better way of doing things. And so you're here, and I just want to challenge you as we talk through some of these things, would you at least just consider what type of havoc they're wreaking in your life and then the lives of those around you? And you might say, well, this isn't affecting anybody else. It's just me. It's no big deal. And I'm going to tell you, friend, don't give in to the lie that your hidden sin or hidden issues don't affect other people around you. They always affect you and everyone else around you. But for those of us who are followers of Christ, we know that sin, ingrained sin, is going to continue to wreak havoc in our lives until we learn to do something about it, right? Until we learn to deal with it. And that we're called to do that. We're called to get the sin out of our lives. But one of the things that you've probably heard if you've been around church for any amount of time is this concept of confession. We're taught to go and confess, right? It's confession. Most of you who understand some of God's Word know that the first point of today is we're to confess to God for forgiveness, right? We know that. We're supposed to confess to God so that He will forgive us. It's one of the principles of the Christian faith. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says this: if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But when I say the word confess, or when I say the word confession, what comes to mind? I mean, if you have had any background in the Catholic Church, I had a lot of Catholic friends growing up. When you talk about confession, you understand that to mean that when you have sin in your life, after you've been baptized in the Catholic Church, you go before a priest and you confess your sins. And he absolves that, and you're free to go on. There might be some penance or something, but then you're free to go on. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like we live life and we have this sin bucket, right? And so day to day we go about and we kind of fill up our bucket with different things for the week and that sort of thing. And then we go to confession and confess those to a priest, and he absolves that, and we dump out our bucket, and then we go on and we fill it up again. Well, you know, lest us Christian church, Protestant Christians kind of get high and mighty, we have our own system too, right? We live life and we fill up our sin bucket and we struggle with things and we fall into temptation and day to day, week to week, that sort of thing. And then, you know, sometime before you go to bed at night, you go into your bed, and if you're super spiritual, you kneel down on your floor by your bed and you pray to God. And you confess those sins to God, and you ask God for forgiveness, and you dump out your bucket, and you go about the rest of the week, and you kind of fill that up again, right? Until you pray to God for forgiveness again, right? That's kind of our system, right? I mean, that may be confusing to some of you, I hope not, but that's kind of what we do. That's what we do. Well, the difference between sin and hidden sin is, you know, hidden sin, this is the stuff that, you know, this everybody sees. Everybody sees this stuff. They know what's going on in our life here. You know, we're bold enough to share some of these things. But hidden sin, you know, that's the sin that we go along week to week and we kind of fill up our hidden sin bucket and we put the lid on there and we keep it tight. We don't want anybody to see in there. And the hidden sin, you know, we go in a dark room and we close and lock the door and we, you know, kind of quietly, you know, open up the bucket and say, God, I need to tell you about this. God did... I need to tell you about this. I got a problem. You know, and then we put the bucket on and we go outside and we live our life again and we continue to just fill this thing up. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I think that's kind of funny because I think God is like, yeah, I know about that. I know about all of it. I was there when you did that with her. You know, yeah, you were there. Yeah, I was there. That's a little odd. Well, yeah. We don't fool God. God knows about our hidden sin just like He knows about everything else. Sometimes we even go as far as to say, God, I promise this is the last time I'll do this. God, if you would just take this out of my life, I will never do this again. And then, you know, a week goes by, a month goes by, that sort of thing, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in the dark room again. God, it's still here. It's still here. And I just want to ask the question, per 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And yet we struggle with it over and over and over again. So what are these sins that some of us struggle with? We're going to go there this morning just quickly. But men, I'm going to tell you, statistically, for 50% of you, that is pornography. Statistics say that 20% of women now struggle with that as well, and you hate it. You don't want to do it. But it's secret, and it's hidden, and it keeps rearing its ugly head. Maybe for you, you have another kind of secret sin that you haven't told anyone else about. Perhaps for you, it's an eating disorder. And you know, you've learned how to hide it and how to not share that. Perhaps you're cutting and no one sees the scars. Perhaps you have a gambling addiction. Some of you have gone too far with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and it just keeps happening over and over and over again, and you don't want it to. Some of you perhaps are involved in an abusive relationship with someone in your family. You are, and you hate it. Some of you are stealing. And you know it's childish, but it just keeps happening. Some of you lie. You have a problem with lying. Some of you struggle with envy and jealousy that you deal with all the time. Some of you are hiding a drug or substance abuse problem. Some of you have something going on the side with someone who is not your spouse. And it may be physical, it may be online. Maybe some of you have something that I haven't even mentioned here today. But we all have things, hidden sins, that get in and wreak havoc if we don't deal with them. And so here's my tough question today. And I got the microphone. I know you can leave, but please don't. I'm going to ask you the question, and here it is. If you've confessed these things to God over and over and over again, why can't you seem to break the power of this sin in your life? Maybe part of the problem, it's definitely not the whole problem, but maybe part of the problem is the system that we seem to have set up. Somewhere along the way, maybe you believed, I know growing up I believed this, that somehow confession was related with guilt relief. And so I'd feel guilty. And you know, that's a good thing, but I'd feel guilty about something, and then you go and confess that to God, and there's this relief of guilt. And so it's kind of like, you know, God's up in heaven and you go and confess something. He says, here, take 2 Tylenol. When you feel bad, come back and confess again. But somehow, some way, we've made this selfish connection of when I feel bad about myself, I want to feel better about myself. And so I'm going to go to God and confess to Him. And confession becomes all about me feeling better. Did you know when you read through Scripture, there is no connection between confession and guilt relief? It's not there. There is a very direct connection all throughout Scripture between confession and repentance. Real confession is always a step toward real repentance. Real confession is always a step towards repentance. Repentance, again, we've talked about it being the idea of doing a U-turn, right? And when we're living life for ourselves, doing things our way, and we do a U-turn and begin to live life the way God designed, towards God, facing what God desires in our life. Real confession always leads to real change. And some of you might be thinking, it was a real confession. I mean, Seth, I was sincere, and I pleaded with God. God, please purify me from this. God, take this out of my life. God, I am so sorry. Get this out of my life. It was real. And so the thought is this, if we're really confessing, why aren't we changing? I think it's somewhat messed up what we have in mind about confession and what it's really about. We'll look back at that verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. He forgives us our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. The word used there for confess, the word used there is this idea to agree or admit with God that what you've done is sin. That's important. A very important step in the idea of confession. And some of you haven't even done that. Some of you haven't even gone to God and confessed to God about sin in your life. Well, you know, it's not affecting anybody else. It's not that big of a deal. Nobody else needs to know about it. I mean, it's not that big of a problem. I'll take care of it later. We get this idea that we don't need to confess. But friends, we need to take care of that. Others of you, you figured that out. And it is an important first step, confessing to God for forgiveness. I got a verse, though, that perhaps will clear some things up for you this morning. James 5:16. Therefore, confesseth your sins only to God in secret, and He will impart upon you supernatural power, so that on your own you shall overcometh your sins and be healed of them. And some of you are thinking, that's what I've been doing. Why isn't it working? And any of you Bible scholars today know that's not James 5:16. This is what James 5:16 really says. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. I want you to say those two words with me, each other, as I read back through that verse. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Yes, we're supposed to go to God and confess. We're all supposed to go to one another and confess to each other. Now, what you need to know about this verse, the word confess there, it's a different word than the word used in 1 John. The word confess here means a full, frank, open confession to someone else. That's what the original word means. Be open and real with someone else. And so it would seem to me that there's a kind of a second step in confession here. Yes, we're to go to God and confess for forgiveness. But friends, we're also supposed to confess to people for healing from our sin. I don't know about you, but you might be thinking, whoa, 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 whoa. You mean I'm supposed to tell them about that? That's embarrassing. I'd be ashamed to do that. I'd be ashamed to share that with them. I'm not confessing my sins to someone else. And you know what? I recognize maybe that's where you're at today. And if that's where you're at, I just want to tell you, I hope you're okay with not moving past some of these sins that are ingrained in your life. Proverbs 28:13 says this, King Solomon, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." If you have ever confessed your sins to someone else, you know the power that can happen in this idea of confessing to others. We got three kids at home, and you know, we made a lot of mistakes raising them, and we're still raising them, and we're learning, and trial by error. We read a lot, whatever. But we're trying to figure this thing out. But one of the things that we're trying to establish with our kids is be honest. Even when you make a mistake, even when you do something wrong, even when you hit your sibling one way or the other, or you lie or whatever, then tell us the truth. Confess to your parents, confess to your mom and I what's going on. And there's freedom in that. Yes, we want them to confess to God as well, but we also want them to confess to us and find freedom in that. And some of you know that. Some of you have experienced that. And others of you are perhaps saying, well, you just don't understand. My sin is more complicated than a little white lie. I know sin is complicated. I know sin is messed up and messy. I also know that sin is like a fungus. And you know what? A fungus? Fungus grows in the dark, and you bring it into the light and it begins to die. And that's the way sin is. You bring sin, that's where it grows in the dark. You bring it into the light and it begins to die. Hidden sin is kind of like a splinter. You know, it gets in there, and if you don't get it out quickly, it's going to grow and it's going to fester and it's going to continue to wreak pain and suffering in your life. And so maybe you've been going to God for a while now, over and over and over again, and it's as if He has, you know, handed you a Tylenol and you've just gone back when you felt bad again. And maybe it's because we do have a messed up idea of confession. And perhaps you're thinking, well, Seth, if I confess to someone else, you're going to have to change. But isn't that what we're about? I mean, if we're really honest, don't we really seek that change in our lives? Because again, real confession always leads to real change. Let me get real personal with you today. Some of you might be thinking, all right, you got me busted. Yep, I've been going to God for years and years, and I've been confessing to God, and I've been pleading with God to please purify my life of this. But, you know, I can't confess this. I got, you know, this thing going on that my wife doesn't know about, or I got this, you know, I cheat on my taxes, or this illegal business that nobody knows about. Too ashamed. Too embarrassed. There's no way I could tell anybody about this. And that might be where you're honestly at right now. You might be in that place, and you know, you've heard what God says about confession, but if you're not willing to do that, I just want to ask you a favor. The next time you go and confess to God, I just want you to change your prayer a little bit and just say, God, I have this issue in my life. I have this sin in my life, but God, I just want you to know I'm going to keep doing it. Well, I can't pray that. Well, why not? If you're not willing to change, if you're not willing to make a difference, at least be honest with God. You can't fool God. So maybe in the midst of you being honest with God, something will happen in your heart. This duplicity that you're living will make some change in your life. That you'll really seek and desire that change. But for the rest of us who actually do want change, it's very, very simple, friends. We have to confess to God. We also have to confess to others. You might be asking, well, who am I supposed to confess to? I mean, do I go to work and, hey, everybody in the boardroom, I got something to tell you. No. You don't need to confess to everybody, but you do need to confess to somebody. You don't have to and shouldn't confess to everybody. There are plenty of people out there, believe me, who are over-confessing to everybody. But you do need to confess to somebody. And so who do you confess to? Well, I think here's two practical ideas. First of all, you need to confess perhaps to the one you've hurt. Or, if this is some internal habit you have, maybe you find someone who will, two things, both hold confidence and hold you accountable. Well, can I confess to my friend who, you know, isn't a Christian and also struggles with the same thing? They'll probably hold your confidence, but they're not going to hold you accountable. Well, can I confess to my cat? Well, what's the point? Well, can I confess to my preacher? That's a good start, perhaps. But I got to tell you, there are about 200 of you, and we're growing. And I cannot be intimately involved in every one of your lives to the point that I can hold you accountable. I'm just being real. And so, friends, find someone who loves the Lord, who will hold your confidence and hold you accountable. Find that person. If you've ever been to an AA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous, they have figured out something that some of us are too dumb to admit, and that is there are issues in our life that we will not get over but just by going to God in a dark room and praying about it. There are issues in life that will not take care of. And so one of the first steps in AA is that you go and confess this issue to someone with flesh on, right? I mean, they know something that God has known, and God perhaps is trying to tell some of us today, and that is we are human beings, and we were created to interact and live with other human beings. And so find someone that you can confess to. But here's the problem. Here's the big, bold problem. We fear the consequences of confession more than we fear the consequences of concealment, don't we? Because we know once we broach that subject, life's about to get real. Our relationship with that person is going to be tested. How are they going to break things off? Are they going to, you know, quit talking to us altogether? Are they going to judge us? I mean, this is embarrassing. But I'm just going to tell you, those types of people that aren't willing to help and that do judge are people that have not yet fully understood the gravity of their own sin. Because when you understand the eternal consequences of your own sin, you get real passionate about helping other people in their sin. And we learn how to show grace and match that with truth. And so again, friends, perhaps you're living with sin. And you know what happens as you continue to live with hidden sin? This thing gets filled up. And just picture, you know, you're just dumping rubble in it day after day, week after week, and it gets awful heavy because you don't ever fully confess and get rid of it. And so you're carrying around this heavy bucket all the time, and all of a sudden you're wondering, why am I so tired? Why am I so exhausted? Why am I so frustrated? Why does it just feel like I'm walking around in a fog all the time? Why does my life just feel so heavy? And I'm telling you today, perhaps there's something in your life that's unconfessed. And until you let this lid off with someone with skin on, friends, I don't know that you'll move past it. King David, who the Bible says was a man after God's own heart, we also know he committed a very grave sexual sin with a married woman named Bathsheba. Hid it for quite a while. He shares about what happened as he hid his sin in Psalm chapter 32. Listen to what he said. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. And that's what some of you feel. Some of you don't know why you're so angry all the time. Some of you don't know why you're so anxious all of the time. Some of you wonder why things in your marriage just aren't quite right. And some of your kids are trying to figure out why mom or dad or both are just so frustrated. Some of you don't understand why you don't feel connected at work or why you don't have close friends to you. And some of you just can't seem to figure out why you can't quite get it going right. Because life, your body, is wasting away. Could you imagine, though, if we figured this out? I mean, if we figured out what God's design was for us as human beings, that we would confess to God and be open to Him, and we would also have the trust to confess to one another as well. Could you imagine just here at church, at Northeast Christian Church, the few hundred people that call this home, could you imagine what could take place here as we learned to confess to one another, practicing true confession? Could you imagine the health that would be injected again into our marriages? Into the relationships we have with our kids and those around us? Could you imagine the happiness and joy and the peace that could come into your life if we'd figure these things out? The alternative is we just continue to walk around day after day, week after week, head in the clouds, foggy. Are you tired of it? Here's my challenge to you today. Here's the takeaway, two parts to this. I want you to answer two questions over the next few minutes here. Perhaps it's something you need to take home. But first of all, what do I need to confess? What in my life do I need to confess? Second of all, who do I need to confess it to? What and who? Because I believe God wants to do some amazing things in each and every one of our lives. But friends, as long as we have unconfessed hidden sin in our lives, we're not going to be the type of people God designed us to be. And so what do I need to confess? Who do I need to confess it to? Now, some of you already know what that is. Some of you here today already know what that is. Some of you even know a person that you could go and confess that to. But here's what happens sometimes. We walk out the door. We got 100 excuses why this is a great message for 7 people that I know to listen to. But I'm doing okay. It's not that bad. I got it under control. I got the handle on it. Some of you are going to let this time pass, and you're going to come back here next week and not having made any changes whatsoever. And friends, I'm just telling you, in the next 48 hours, by noon on Tuesday, figure out what it is that you need to confess and make the phone call for lunch, for coffee, whatever it takes to get this right, to share this with a brother or a sister in Christ. Men, are you ready to be strong and courageous? Hiding these types of things does not make you strong. It keeps you weak. Women, be courageous with what you need to do, with what God has called us to do. And friends, let's watch God work miracles in our lives and in our church as we figure out how to refine this issue of hidden sin out of our lives. Let's pray together.